one back there. Joe, give it to Joe. There we go. Anybody else? And so now, last week we talked about, we began this part of chapter 3, first part dealing with the tongue. And going along with the theme of the book of James, a faith that works. And we talked about how important it is to understand that if a Christian's speech reveals a true biblical faith. And the tongue could be used as building up or just tearing down. We talked about in the first several verses here, verses 1 through 12, about the importance of the tongue in relation to those who are teaching the Word of God. There in the first verse there, when it uses the term masters, that is the same Greek word, that, English, that we would translate if we were saying today, we'd say teachers. Teachers. And so those who are teaching the Word of God and the importance of minding the tongue. We went through all that. I'm not going to go through last week's lesson. So if you missed that, you can look that up and find it on the internet, on our website, and turn that over. But we pick up in verse 13 tonight. And not only the importance of understanding the tongue, but also in letter C of your outline, beginning in verse 13, this application of this idea of a faith that works in relation to the wisdom. There's when we talk about the tongue, there's something that has to go along with that. You got to be wise and know how to use your speech. Have you ever heard the saying about folks, and I'm trying to make sure that I get this right, I would rather be thought of as not being smart and keep my mouth shut than to open my mouth and remove all doubt. You know, and something along that line, you know, and so sometimes when some people open their mouths and start, it removes all doubt as to, you know, where they are, you know, if they you know, kind of person and what it is. So in this idea of wisdom, not only is it important to understand the proper use of speech, but it's also to understand that as we're speaking, we need to make sure that we know what we're talking about. We're not talking about just having head knowledge. There's a lot of people who have great knowledge. I mean, they could give you facts and figures. They could give you dates and sports scores and lineups, and they can name, you know, lots of things. But they can't take that knowledge and do anything with it intelligently. Okay? They don't have the wisdom to apply it. James is reminding us that there's two types of wisdom. There's a true wisdom, and which is a heavenly wisdom, and then there's a false wisdom, which is a worldly wisdom. We're going to look at the differences of those in just a minute. But beginning in verse 13, if you've got that and turn to it, we're going to ask you to stand, if you can physically stand, to honor the reading of the Word of God. As we pick up and conclude this chapter tonight, James asks, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Let's ask God to give us that wisdom tonight and understanding His Word. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for these precious folks who come each and every week on Wednesday nights, who come with an open heart, an open Bible, and desiring, Lord, to learn from Your Word. I pray, Lord, You give us wisdom tonight. Give us direction and discernment to know exactly what the truth of Your Word is. There's a lot being said in our world today. Sadly, there's a lot being said in some churches that are just not true to the Word of God. I pray that You'll help us to discern. I pray that You'll help us as leaders as pastors, teachers, leaders in every way, that we gain heavenly wisdom, not depend upon earthly wisdom, as you direct us in the ministries that you've called us to do. Lord, I just pray that you'll give us understanding tonight, and everything that's said and done to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. There's a story of a man, businessman in Boston, who was given the job to escort a famous scholar from China on his trip to the United States. He met his Asian friend, and as they were at the train station, they were rushing to catch the next subway train in Boston. As they ran through the subway station, the host was almost out of breath as he said to his guest, "If we run and catch the next train, we can save 3 minutes on our schedule." To which the very patient Chinese philosopher replied, "And what significant thing shall we do with the 3 minutes that we're saving?" Now, that's very important. That's good. That's good stuff right there. If you're going to save 3 minutes by catching a train, what are you going to do with that 3 minutes? Most of us end up wasting 6 or 8 minutes trying to save three. And the world gives us the idea that their wisdom is something that you've got to have. You've got to have more education. I'm all for education. I'm trying to get more of it. Lord knows I need it. But education doesn't necessarily bring wisdom. I try to hang around good people. I try to hang around people that know things that I don't know. That's good. There's some things that I'm just not as smart about as some others. And if I want to know about that, I want to know what they know. And it's good. And I learn from things like that. The Bible tells us here that a wise man is not necessarily one that has a lot of knowledge in verse 13. But wisdom, and notice the wise teacher, number one on your outline, in verse 13, wisdom is that practical living that is directed by the Word of God. If we depend upon our head knowledge, we're going to find ourselves not necessarily following the will of God all the time. James reminded us back in chapter 1, verse 5. I wrote that verse reference down for you. I'll read it for you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, that means without reproach, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Many times, if we're lacking wisdom in something, what's one of the first things we do? We ask other people instead of asking God. Now, that can be a problem. But what if that person we're asking is not being led by the Lord? And that they may have good practical advice, but it may not be godly advice. So a wise teacher, in verse 13, is one that is directed by the Word of God. And not necessarily with your education. I remember Dr. Lee Robertson said one time in one of our pastor classes at Tennessee Temple, he said, a preacher that gets up to preach and uses all these big words and all the theology and, you know, and things trying to impress people, that doesn't mean that he has superior wisdom. It just means he's got bad aim. And you know, a lot of times if you're shooting over everybody's head, trying to impress them with how much you know, you got real bad aim because it's not hitting the heart of the listeners that are there listening to what you're teaching. Dr. Lee Robertson went on to say this, and I'll never forget this great philosophy of ministry I've always tried to remember. I always keep the cookie jar down on the lower shelf where everybody can get to it. That's chocolate chip cookies, by the way. Amen. Amen. Chocolate chip cookies. Keep the cookie jar down on the lower shelf so that everybody can understand the Word of God. So a wise teacher is directed by the Word of God. It's not necessarily how much you know that impresses people, but how can you apply it? Where's the wisdom, that wisdom that comes in? So then he begins in verse 14 to contrast. There's worldly wisdom, as I give it in your outline, and then heavenly wisdom. Let's look at the differences here. Begin in verse 14. He said, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what does he call it? Devilish. Worldly wisdom. Now, I've been around some very smart people. And I'm talking about PhD kind of people. I'm talking about doctors of stuff that I have no idea what it means, what their degree is in, much less what they do with it, okay? I've met people like that. I've had conversations with people and I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. But they were the nicest folks, okay? I met some of the nicest people. And it was just, and that's good. But he says in verse 14 that all the knowledge in the world is not going to do you any good if you've got bitterness and strife in your heart. If you've got something other than the Holy Spirit of God leading you, you're not going to have the wisdom to get out of a paper bag. Okay? And one of the problems is that we don't recognize that this type of wisdom is not from God. We think in some of our churches and some of our organizations and some of our leadership and other places that just because somebody's got a degree, just because somebody's got years of experience, and just because they something that meets our criteria, that somehow or another we're supposed to listen to what they're supposed to do. Now, I don't have a lot of these kind of conversations. I'll tell you the honest truth since I've been here as your pastor. But I have heard of pulpit committees interviewing prospective ministers. And when they get information, whether it's a reference or a resume of some kind, I've heard people on a pulpit committee say this: well, they don't have a doctorate degree. We're not interested in them coming to be our pastor. I've heard that. I've had people stand in front of me. They weren't talking about me. They were talking about other people. And for a while in my younger days of my ministry, I used to believe that that was important, John. I really did. I thought, oh man, that's just, you know. And then I realized, wait a minute, I've known some people who have doctor's degrees. They don't know how to get me out of the rain. They really don't. And I'm not against somebody having all the degrees and education if God leads them to do that and if they can apply it in their life. I'm all for it. But wait a minute. For a group of people to say, we're not even going to consider and pray about somebody unless they come up to this worldly standard that we've set that is not found anywhere in the Word of God, and we're not even going to pray about this person because they don't come. Listen, by the way, I told the guy, I said, even if I had a doctorate degree, I wouldn't apply to your church. If that's the kind of attitude you got, you're going to have trouble. He said, well, what are you talking about? Well, ours is a big church. We First Baptist something, you know. We got to have a doctor. And I said, no, what you need is the Holy Spirit of God to lead you. I said, why don't you try an all-night prayer meeting one night? Get on the altar. By the way, do you know where your altar is in your church? He didn't like that. I said, by the way, get on your altar and just pray and let God lead you, and maybe you'll find somebody, and don't worry about whether they got a degree in front of their name or not. Anyway, that was free. I didn't know what that meant, but anyway. But that worldly wisdom permeates too much of our churches and Sunday school classes, our youth groups and our children's ministries and our deacons' meetings and churches all over the place. We think that we've got to come up. We're more worried about trying to come up to the standard of somebody down the street than we are worried about the Word of God and what God has for us to do. Now, any teaching that's not controlled by the Holy Spirit is worldly teaching and it is false teaching. And he says in verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Now, plain and simple, this is just real simple. This is elementary kind of stuff, okay? So it's not deep theology, all right? You ready for this? You're either being led by the Holy Spirit of God, or either you're not. Now, if that was too hard for you, let me say it again. Either you're being led by the Holy Spirit of God and seeking wisdom and direction for your life, or either you're not. There's nothing in between. You can't have one foot with Holy Spirit and the other foot over here in the world. It's like straddling a fence. You're going to hurt yourself. Okay? But you can't mix this up. God, the Holy Spirit, is not going to allow you to mix up His stuff. So you're either following the leading the Holy Spirit of God to make decisions for your family, your finances, to make decisions on your job, to make decisions in your church, how to be a part of the family of God, and all these things. You're either following God's Holy Spirit, or either you're not. And if you're over here in the not, you got a huge problem. And it shows up with envy, strife, worldliness, confusion, he says, evil work. But it comes down back to verse 14. There's three words in the middle of verse 14. It says, in your hearts. That's it. That's it. It's because it's in your heart. And it comes out when something doesn't go your way. And you're going to make your voice known. You're going to let them know what you think about it. You're going to tell them off. I'm going to get my say. And they go, oh yeah, okay. That's not Holy Spirit led. That's selfishness. That leads to strife and bitterness and all kinds of problems. You see, this false worldly wisdom does nothing but cause jealousy, division, and confusion in the people of God. And many people think that that's the way it ought to be because that's the way we function down at the job. That's the way we function at the office or down at the plant. And that's the way it's always been. No, that doesn't make it right. You're either following the Holy Spirit of God or you're not. So the question is, where is your wisdom coming from? Notice verse 17. This is where our wisdom should go. Now, remember now, this chapter began dealing with primarily the responsibility and role of those who teach and lead in teaching the Word of God in the local church. Okay? And those who are, but this is all practically applied to every believer. Okay? So, you are in some role in your life a teacher. You're a parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle. You're a coach, you're a team leader at work. You're some kind of something. Somewhere along your life, you're something, okay? You're teaching somebody. You know, even if you're teaching your dog how to fetch. Okay, you're teaching somebody something, all right? So we apply this to all. So if we don't want to have the wisdom of the world, this false wisdom, what is true wisdom? Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, notice it's from above. It's heavenly wisdom. It's pure. Notice the characteristics of it. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. That means, you know what that means? Willing to yield. Willing to yield. There's a lot of construction on up there in Greenville, 385, 85, Woodruff Road, and all. We were driving up through there yesterday going to our Jewel Club lunch. And I mean, there's barrels and posts, there's concrete barriers, there's signs, there's lane shifts and all this stuff. And it's going to be going. And someone asked on the bus yesterday, they said, preacher, how long are they going to be before they get this done? I said, probably about halfway through the millennial reign. It's about how long it's going to take them to finish this mess. But one of the problems with that all is it's different. You got to pay attention, especially at night when everything's different. And you have to pay attention getting on and off. And there are those little triangular signs, you know, and it says yield. Y-I-E-L-D, yield. Isn't it amazing how they don't teach that in driver education anymore? Evidently. Because people don't yield. They either stop right in the middle of the road to try to merge on, which is not smart. Or either they don't allow themselves, if it's not your turn, it's not your turn. Okay? And if you don't yield, in other words, if you run out in front of somebody, it's your fault. Because they're going to write you a ticket and they're going to put it on that ticket, failure to yield. Okay? Now, heavenly wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, and he says, easy to be entreated. In other words, willing to yield. Now, This right here is worth everything coming over here tonight for this. Are you ready for this? Are you paying attention? You're not always right. I will say it again because not everybody got it. You're not always right. And heavenly wisdom allows you to be willing to yield and to admit, you know what? I'm not always right. And when I realize I'm wrong, I need to be willing to yield to be shown that this is right, and I need to make sure I go along in the right way. Now, we don't need stubbornness in the family of God. We don't need stubbornness in leadership when it comes to things. That's not heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom reminds you and allows you to say, okay, this is where I'm supposed to stop and allow them to go first. This is where I'm willing to yield. This kind of wisdom does not cause confusion. This kind of wisdom does not cause strife. Notice this. If we're willing to yield, easy to be entreated, then we're full of mercy and good fruits. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be part around people who are using their talent for the Lord, using their spiritual gifts and the spirit of meekness and humbleness and love and a servant attitude and yielding good fruits. Listen, I've been around a bunch of Fruit Loops, okay? All right? It's wonderful to be around some people who are showing good fruits of the Spirit instead of a bunch of Fruit Loops. Now, when we do that, we do it without partiality. We do it without hypocrisy. You do not have to stand up and broadcast, hey, look at me. I'm using heavenly wisdom. I'm willing to yield. I'm peaceable. I'm pure. I'm humble, and I'm proud of it. Now, you don't have to do that. When you're living by the Spirit of God and allow God to lead you in decisions for your family, your finances, your careers, your job, your friendships, your relationships, you're working in ministry and serving in the church and as leaders, as you lead and do as God has led you to do, you don't have to take a bullhorn and tell everybody that you have heavenly wisdom because it'll be all over you. Everybody will recognize it. They'll see Jesus just flowing out of you. Okay? You don't have to let everybody know it. In fact, when people start trying to tell you about it, you keep saying, don't do that. You see, the teaching that comes from the Word of God that's directed by the Holy Spirit is that true wisdom and results in a fruitful life. Notice verse 18, I'll close with this. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh, we need a lot of peacemakers in our world today, don't we? In every level. And there's a lot of things out there that will challenge you in your seeking wisdom. There's a lot of good, well-meaning people. Maybe some of your family and friends who are not being led by the Spirit, but they think they know more than you do. And you got to be careful that you don't allow the influence of that to go against the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Measure everything by the Word of God is what this is saying. Because God is not going to contradict Himself. Heavenly wisdom will never contradict anything in the Word of God. And when it comes to raising your children, when it comes to handling your finances, when it comes to making decisions as a leader of the church and the local body of believers, all of that can be led by the Holy Spirit of God. God will lead you and direct you through the Word of God, is what James is saying. And it's a whole lot easier to keep your mouth shut when you're dependent upon heavenly wisdom than it is if you got earthly wisdom and false wisdom, because that's usually where they run their mouths a whole lot more. Because they're trying to prove themselves to somebody. One of the things that I've enjoyed, I don't know how this happened in my life. I guess because I spent a lot of time with my grandmothers growing up. And I was blessed to have godly grandmothers. My grandfathers were not involved. One had already gone to heaven. The other was not involved in our life. And and had a great uncle who raised my father. He was as close to a grandfather as I had, but we didn't see them a whole lot. But I spent more time with my grandmothers and their friends as a kid. I don't know what it was. But I always felt comfortable about being around older people. I don't know what it was. As a teenager, I kind of drifted to the older folks of the church, the Sunday school teachers and the deacons, and hung around the maintenance guys and all that kind of stuff. I just did that. I just enjoyed that. And I don't know what it was. I just felt comfortable with that. And people thought that I was older than I really was because I was comfortable about being around adults. Later on, it was because of the color of my hair, as it turned gray so early in life. You know, when you're 15 years old and you're trying to explain your gray hair it's hard. But I found that hanging around older folks, I learned a lot. I love history. So a lot of these folks had lived through some of the history I was interested in, so I'd ask a lot of questions. That was fun. But then it was just that they were just so wise about stuff, just practical about things. And when it came to the work of the church, man, every time we'd have older preachers, evangelists, or missionaries come around, I just held on to every word. I wasn't too impressed with people who were my age. I knew better. But there was just something about hanging around older folks that just tried to glean that little nuggets of wisdom. When you measure that up with the Word of God, allow God to lead you and guide you in those things. It helps you keep your mouth shut a whole lot of times. Controlling your tongue, realizing where the wisdom comes from. And James tells us the result of that is peace, righteousness, and it goes a long way in reaching a lost world for Christ. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we can gather in this place to study and fellowship. And Lord, there's so much in our world that tries to get us to follow their way of philosophy and attitudes and thinking. Pray, Lord, that we'll measure everything by the Word of God. We'll allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead us. Lord, it's easy to go with what we want, with our preferences, our prejudices, our traditions, and things we want, without even consulting you. And Lord, forgive us where we've done that. Forgive us where we failed in making decisions without even praying about it. We've all done it. And Lord, I just pray you help us not to allow that to be part of our lives anymore. Lord, help us to seek your guidance and your direction and your wisdom. Lord, to go a long way in bringing peace and joy and happiness. Go a long way in producing fruit in the Christian life. Lord, I pray this week you'll give us opportunities to follow your guidance and direction. Bring us back on Sunday and the Lord's Day, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Sunday.